Our scripture reading tonight finds us in the city of Jericho. Now, this city of Jericho was very famous, of course. In the Old Testament, we have there those same walls of Jericho that came crumbling down when Joshua and the priest walked around the walls 13 times. They walked around once a day for 6 days, then 7 days on the seventh day. They gave a shout and they blew the trumpets, and those walls, those mighty walls, they came crumbling down. In Luke chapter 18, the previous chapter, Christ speaks here to his disciples, and in verses 31 to 33, he details all things relating to his imminent death at the hands of the Roman soldiers. Christ here, you see, is making his final journey to the city of Jerusalem to be crucified. Yet whilst on that journey, Christ now finds himself passing through this city of Jericho. And upon entering the city, he came across a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. And upon speaking with this blind man, we read that Jesus Christ healed him of his blindness. Further to that, there in the opening words of Luke chapter 19, in the portion that we've read together tonight, we see that Christ encountered another man here because he encountered a man in Jericho by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, I see a couple of young girls here tonight, and we're all young at heart, I guess, but we're all familiar with this man Zacchaeus. I'm sure if I asked you the question tonight, you could all tell me everything about Zacchaeus, couldn't you? I'm sure you could tell me that he was a tax collector. He was a little man. He climbed a sycamore tree. I know my little boy at home, he loves to sing about that man Zacchaeus, the wee little man that we all love to sing about. He was small. He climbed a sycamore tree. He was a tax collector. Maybe some of you could tell me also that Zacchaeus was dishonest. He was dishonest because he was greedy. He loved money. He had a love for riches and for the things of the world. But we also read here in Luke chapter 19 another thing about Zacchaeus, because we read here that Zacchaeus was a sinner. And little did Zacchaeus know here that Christ was going through Jericho, and when he came through Jericho that day, that he would meet Zacchaeus, and that Zacchaeus would be saved. You see, we read this account here tonight, and we've read it in the past again, no doubt. And although it's not deliberate in ourselves, we are often guilty of focusing on this little man Zacchaeus, when our focus ought to be directed on Jesus Christ. You see, it is Jesus Christ and his miracle of grace that he performed in Zacchaeus' life which is important here. That is the message here in this story in Luke chapter 19. And I want to take these words here in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10, and I want us tonight to focus on Christ. To focus tonight on Jesus Christ, for read these words in verse 10 with me. He says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Tonight I want to speak quite simply on the subject, Jesus Christ, the seeker and savior of the lost. We're going to look at this portion tonight and consider Jesus Christ, the seeker and savior of the lost. There are three things that I want to leave with you tonight that I see here. Because the first thing we see here tonight is the object of Christ's coming. The first thing is this object of Christ's coming. For it says in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, the object here in question tonight was the lost. I'm sure we're all familiar here tonight in Newton Abbey with the term lost. How often have you lost something in your life? Perhaps you've maybe lost your wallet, you've lost your mobile phone, you've maybe lost the keys of your car. You run around the house looking for them only to find the keys in the toilet because your son has dropped them down the toilet. I don't know if that's happened to any of you, but it has happened. Maybe someone here tonight has been to the supermarket, they've been to Tesco's, to Sainsbury's, wherever you go, and you turn your back for a moment. You turn your back and the child's gone and you have lost them. You start to panic, you start to worry, you run about and you find that child and you're so happy to be reunited with your children. Some of you may have even lost friends, maybe lost family members as well. You see, these are just a few examples here tonight of what it means to lose something. We see loss here involves separation, doesn't it? To lose something involves us being separated from that thing. Yet, of course, here in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10, Jesus Christ, of course, is not speaking about possessions or children. He's not speaking about friends or families, but rather he is speaking about something that is infinitely more important. You see, Jesus Christ here is declaring here that all mankind is lost because of their sin. And this is a truth that is revealed in the Word of God, because Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 53 and the verse 6, it tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It says all have sinned, all we like are like sheep. You see, this little word here at the start of both these verses, the little word all, it is so important. So important in these verses because it shows us that we're all guilty of sin. It doesn't say here some have sinned, does it? It doesn't say some of us have gone astray, but no, it says that all are sinners and therefore we're all lost and in need of rescuing. You see, the truth of the matter is our sin has separated us from God, and the result of this separation, it was both physical and spiritual death. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9 in the verse 13 says, he says, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Christ came to call sinners to repentance. We see the same in Matthew chapter 1 in the verse 21. We have the account there of Joseph, and the angel comes to speak to Joseph, and he says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And then what does it say? It says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." You see, this was the sole reason for Christ coming into this world. You know, he didn't come to overthrow the Romans. He didn't come to bring about world peace. He didn't come to make people rich. He didn't even come to heal people. And yes, he may have done some of these things in his earthly ministry. But no, his sole reason here was to come and to save the lost from their sins. The word lost here in Luke chapter 19, the verse 10, it can also be translated as meaning to destroy. It means to die, it means to perish. Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 13. Do we see this? Just back a few chapters there, Luke chapter 13, and the verse 3. Again, we see Christ speaking here, Luke chapter 13, and the verse 3, he says this, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." This word perish here, it is the same word lost in Luke chapter 19 in the verse 10. And you see, Christ here is telling those in attendance that if they did not repent of their sin, that they would perish. They would be lost in hell forever. That is what Christ here is saying. And this same truth that comes to each and every one here tonight in this church in Newton Abbey as well, because if tonight finds you outside of Christ, then unless you repent of your sins and turn to Christ, you too will be lost. If you don't come to Christ tonight, you'll be lost and you will perish in hell for eternity. That is the truth of the gospel. We see here the object of his coming. He came for the lost. But secondly, tonight we also see the objective of his coming. We see the objective of his coming because it says again in Luke chapter 19 in the verse 10 that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, the objective of Christ's coming here was to both seek and to save. We see here Christ is a seeking Savior, but we also see he is a saving Savior. The word seek, it means to inquire about. It means to desire to have. It means to go after something. We seek after something. We desire it. We want it. It's the same word that is used by Christ in the parable of the lost sheep. Perhaps we could turn to that portion in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, please. It's the verses 11. We have here the exact same words given from the account of Matthew. As we see in Luke chapter 19, he says here, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which was gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which he went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Now, I didn't grow up on a farm, so I know very little about sheep. I'm what they call a townie. But upon doing a little research into the subject of sheep, it's apparently common for sheep to go astray. You see, they can go astray for a number of reasons. They can go astray because they're hungry, they're in search of fresh grass. They can go astray to avoid danger. They also maybe want to explore a new area. They're curious sheep. But I also learned something that I didn't know. I learned that sheep, they can physically not actually walk straight. And that is because of the positions of the sheep's eyes. You see, they're positioned on the side of the sheep's temple, and that means they can physically, literally not walk straight. Apparently, if you follow a sheep's footprints, it will go off sort of diagonally. And you see, if they don't have a shepherd, if they don't have a sheepdog, they will go astray, they will get disoriented, they will get lost. And when I thought about this, thought of sheep, it got me to think about human beings as well. You see, how different are we from sheep? See, if we left our own devices, we naturally tend to wander, don't we? We wander towards those things that we shouldn't do. And you know, to wander towards those things we shouldn't do, it is wrong. We get ourselves into difficult situations. We find ourselves lost. We see here in this parable that one sheep had wandered away from its flock. Yet the shepherd goes after it in order to retrieve it. In John chapter 10 and the verse 11, we read that Christ is described there as the good shepherd. And just as that shepherd here goes after that lost sheep, so Jesus Christ goes in search of you tonight who are lost. You see, in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10, it is important that we note that it is Christ alone who does the seeking. You see, we have no involvement whatsoever. Man has no involvement in seeking Christ. It's all Christ. The psalmist David, he makes a statement in Psalm 14 in the verse 2 and 3. He says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They have all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." The apostle Paul in the New Testament, he makes a similar observation in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and the verses 10 and 11 say, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." You see, the truth that we see in these two verses, and the truth is tonight, that sinful man will never seek after God. You see, this has been the case since the fall of man. Turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 3. Do we see this? Genesis chapter 3. We have here in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Not long has passed since Adam and Eve have eaten of the forbidden fruit. God comes now to speak to them, and we read here in verse 8 what he says. It says here, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." See, we don't read here of Adam and Eve coming to seek God, do we? They have sinned here, haven't they? And they find themselves in hiding. But rather, it is God who comes to seek out Adam and Eve. The same is seen in the book of Exodus with the account of Moses. You see, Moses finds himself there in the Midian desert, but Moses wasn't there seeking God. No, Moses was there hiding from Pharaoh as a result of having killed that Egyptian soldier a little earlier. You know, God, he meets Moses there. God is seeking Moses. He meets him in the Midian desert. He calls him there from the burning bush. And Moses does mighty things for the Lord. And you know, in Luke chapter 19, it was also the same here with Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus, too, he wasn't seeking God either. And I say that despite what we read here in Luke chapter 19, the verses 3 and 4. It says here, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." You see, he may here have come to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. But note where he was when he did it. He wasn't at the feet of Jesus. He was up a sycamore tree. He was in the distance, looking on from a distance. You know, he didn't fall at the Savior's feet like so many other we read of in the Word of God. He didn't come begging forgiveness. He didn't ask to be saved. No, when he heard about Jesus, he was in hiding. He was up that sycamore tree because he didn't want to know about God. And the same could be said of everyone here tonight. Because nobody here tonight can say that they haven't heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many here, perhaps, who don't want to know Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you deny that he is God. But we all have at least heard of Jesus Christ. And you, Zacchaeus here, he may have thought that he was seeking Christ out. But the truth of the matter is that Christ was seeking Zacchaeus. You see, Christ knew everything about Zacchaeus, didn't he? He knew everything that he'd ever done. He knew everything he would ever do as well. He knew the wrongs he had committed. He knew what he had done. He even knew his very name as well. For look with me what it says in verse 5. He says here, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for this day I must abide at thy house." You know, nobody had told the Savior this man's name. Zacchaeus had never met Christ. Christ had never met Zacchaeus. Yet the Lord here, he says, "Zacchaeus." You know, perhaps there's one here tonight and you have no desire to seek Christ. You know, you're happy in your sin. That will be the truth. You're happy in your sin. Yet tonight finds Christ seeking for you because he wants to know you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything that you will ever do. And as this meeting is going on tonight, perhaps you've felt it. I don't know. Perhaps you've felt the Holy Ghost speaking to you tonight. Perhaps you've felt that convicting tonight because of your sin. Because you know in your heart that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. If that is you tonight, then I urge you, I plead you, I exhort you tonight to come to this Savior. Come to Christ tonight. You see, young or old, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what age you are, because Christ saves all who come to him. But not only is Christ here a seeking Savior, but Christ is also a saving Savior. Christ is also a saving Savior, because he says here in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, what does it mean to save somebody? Quite simply, it means to take that individual out of danger, doesn't it? It means to take someone out of harm's way. If somebody is trapped in a burning building, someone is drowning, and they're going to die because they're drowning, the natural reaction is, I need to try and help that individual. I need to get them away from that danger as quick as I can. Now, this is the same truth for all here who are in their sin. Because you tonight, my friend, you're in great danger. You're in great danger, but Christ here, he came to seek and to save the lost, and that is great news for all who are outside of Christ tonight. I want to tell you tonight, if you're still in your sin, then you're lost. You're lost, you're perishing, and you're in need of saving, because if you're not saved before you die, then you will go to that awful place called hell for eternity. You know, many will not admit it, but this is a universal truth. Everyone knows this truth, yet many still deny that they're lost, don't they? Their actions cannot deny it. You know, many of mankind today, they deny that they're lost. They say they don't need a Savior, but their actions say otherwise. You see, sin has left a void in man's heart, and man tries to fill this void with all sorts of things to make him happy. You know, some find happiness in the pleasures of the world. Some find happiness in alcohol, in drugs, in gambling. Others find happiness in their possessions and being rich. You know, this was the case here with Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus loved money. He loved money. He tried to get as much of it as he could. He tried to get it as quickly as possible by whatever means necessary. He didn't care how he got this money. He just loved money. Luke chapter 19, in the verse 8, tells us this. He says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." There are others too in this world who turn to their good works, turn to their religiosity, their religious behavior, how they appear before society, their moral standing, if you like. They turn to this to fill that void in their heart. You know, the truth is, many today teach and believe that if you're a good person, if you simply try your best, if you obey the law, and if you do your best, then that's enough. You know, that's enough to get you to heaven. But they fail to see the truth in the verse here, because the verse in Luke chapter 19 doesn't say, your good works came to seek and to save that which was lost. It doesn't say your religion came to seek and save the lost. It doesn't say your moral standing in society came to seek and to save the lost. Now it says here, Christ came to seek and to save the lost. See, the truth is, my friends, tonight there's no hope in ourselves. There's no hope in what you or I can do. I can't save you. I would love to take you to heaven, but I can't save you. There's no power in man. There's no power in man to save any individual, but there's only power in the blood of Jesus Christ to save any man, woman, or child. Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12 tells us that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's salvation in no other but Jesus Christ. That is the truth tonight. That is the truth of the gospel, and that is something that every sinner needs to grasp. Because like the lost sheep in that parable that we considered earlier, you're helpless. You're helpless tonight unless Christ, the good shepherd, saves you, unless you come to him, unless you're saved even tonight. This evening we have been considering here the object of Christ's coming. He came to seek and save the lost. We've considered also the objective here of his coming. It was to seek and to save the lost. But thirdly and finally tonight, for a moment, I want us just to consider obtaining salvation by his coming. I want us to consider tonight how you can obtain salvation by his coming. In other words, what I'm saying tonight is, how can any sinner be saved? Because we've seen tonight that no man can save anyone. I can't save you. Mankind cannot save himself, but no, only Jesus Christ, only he can save you. Galatians chapter 4, in the verses 4 and 5, we read these words. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." You see, just over 2,000 years ago now, God sent his only begotten into the world, Jesus Christ, into the Son to redeem those who were lost. The truth is, our sin has separated us from God. It's been separated from God we have been since the Garden of Eden, since the beginning of time. Our sin has damned us to spend an eternity in hell. Yet in God's mercy and God's love toward the sinner, he has provided a way back. And that way back is in Jesus Christ alone. When I ask you tonight, what does our salvation cost us? You know, our salvation, it cost us nothing. But you know, what did it cost Christ? Well, it cost Christ his own life on the cross of Calvary. Matthew chapter 20, in the verse 28, Christ says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, Christ was the ransom price. His blood was the cost of our salvation. Our sins were laid upon Christ. Christ became the sin bearer. Christ stood in our place. He stood condemned in the place that we should have been. And the only way in which our sins could be atoned for was through the shedding of his own blood on the cross of Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19 reveal this truth to us. It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ," you see, silver, gold, riches, possessions, nothing will save a man. Salvation is found in Christ alone. And maybe you've heard this truth before. Maybe you have been coming to this church for a long time. I don't know, and you're not saved, but you've heard the truth of the gospel all your life. And you find this difficult to understand. And I'll give you that. It is a fair enough comment. It is difficult to understand because in our minds we cannot understand why anybody would suffer the agonies of being crucified, why anyone would willingly die for the sins of somebody else. You'll never understand that. I'm sure those who are saved here tonight will never understand it. But you know, the simple answer to that question is this: it was because of his love. It was because despite all that mankind has done, God still loves his people. We see that love described in John chapter 3. Turn with me for a moment to John chapter 3. Probably some of the most famous words in all of Scripture. John chapter 3 and the verse 16. It says here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here we have it again in John chapter 3 and verse 16. We have this word perish, that word lost, and we can read the words like that. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be lost, but have everlasting life." You know, many people read John chapter 3 and verse 16 and they stop at this verse. They stop at John 3:16, but we must read on tonight. You see, because look what it says here in John chapter 3 and the verse 17. Often people miss this. They say, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." What a glorious truth we have here tonight in the Gospel of John. You see, God sent his Son into the world that sinners might be saved. Here, and we see the truth in our text tonight. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. But just now, as we bring our gospel service here to a close in Newton Abbey, could I speak to any in this meeting tonight and you have not got Christ in your life? You're not saved, in other words. Well, I want to tell you tonight the truth that you are lost, my friend. You're lost and in need of rescue because of your sin. I want to also tell you that if you remain lost in your sin, then you will die and you will go to an eternity in hell. That is the truth of the gospel. That is the truth of the Bible. They're not my words, they're God's words. But I don't want to leave you there tonight because I want to show you tonight that there is hope. There is hope here in John chapter 3 because look with me at the words of verse 15. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He says whosoever believeth in him, that is Christ here. So whosoever believeth in Christ should not perish, should not be lost, but they will have eternal life in heaven. You might be sitting here tonight and thinking to yourself, that's all well and good for you, but you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the wicked and awful things that I have performed in my life. Well, as we close here, I want to tell you about a man called Saul of Tarsus. We talked about him this morning. Saul of Tarsus, he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was a murderer. But God saved that man, and he made him into Paul, that mighty man and that mighty preacher. God saved Saul of Tarsus, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 15, we read these words. We read his testimony. He says, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You see, this man, Saul of Tarsus, he felt he was the worst of sinners. He felt he was the chief of sinners, yet Christ still saved him. And you know, Christ is able to save the worst of people. He can save the thieves, the murderers, the adulterers, the drunkards. He can save the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the Catholics, the Protestants, the old, the young. It doesn't matter because Christ, he saves all who come and put their trust in him. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the message of the gospel. And if tonight finds you outside of Christ, I urge you tonight to come to Christ. Come to him now, put your trust in him, and may tonight find you no longer lost and perishing and on your way to eternity. And no, may tonight find you in Jesus Christ. If I could speak to anyone here tonight who maybe isn't saved and who would like to speak about further things, come and see me afterwards. I'd love to speak to you. I'd love to talk to you about Christ. I would love you to show you the Savior. But heed these words tonight. You see, tonight if you're not saved, you're lost. You're lost, but there is hope. You see, that hope tonight is in Jesus Christ, and therefore come to Him tonight. Come to Him and be saved. Amen.